church. So, yeah, I just want to say thank you to Andrew for giving me the opportunity to lead the service today. I'm pretty nervous, so if you'll all, you know, bear with me. So, so obviously we can see Paul and Kate here today. So on that note, I'll hand you over to Christine, who's going to introduce them to you. So.
We welcome Paul and his wife Kate with us today. Would you like to sit down, by the way? Sorry, because you don't want to be standing up for ages. Paul is about, as you know, is about to start, or has already started maybe, his ministry with us, and we look forward to sharing this with him and pray for God's blessing. Nigel was encouraging us in his sermon last week to move forward on our journey of faith in becoming Christian believers who reach out as disciples. And we read in Matthew's Gospel that Jesus said, "Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Those disciples followed him on that journey, growing in faith, as they listened to his teaching, until the time came for Jesus to leave them, and he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the end of the age." So, yes, welcome to you both.
Well, this is probably the last time I'm going to be able to say this, but thank you for the better welcome than my previous Yorkshireman. I want you to look down at your feet, if you would. Look at the feet of the people, perhaps to your left and right, if you're sat near people. Right, who has beautiful feet?
Nobody.
I know, I'm the same. I don't get this thing about feet. I think they're all, no offence, but I think they're all ugly. It's necessary purpose. But we're told in Romans 10:15, that those that share and carry the gospel have beautiful feet. And in the work that we've been called to do, and I thank you for the very warm welcome that we've received, but I believe it's as a church. And the first thing that we need to do is wait on the Lord and ask the Lord what he wants us to do. So I'd like to ask you to join me in prayer for that. As you ongoing daily prayers. And if you're able to, now as you can see, my lovely wife, equips me well for ongoing fasting. But I appreciate that because of health reasons or whatever, not everybody can fast. But if you're able to, I'd like to ask you to fast as well, as we wait on the Lord and determine what he calls us to do as a church in the community and to share the gospel with others. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. So I'll... call to worship today I've taken from Psalm 5, verses 7 through 8. "But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Because of my enemies, make your way straight before me." So we're going to move on to our first hymn now, which is "As We Are Gathered, Jesus." Shall we pray? So, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to come to you today, to meet together, to give you thanks, to learn your word, to be taught from you. And Lord, we know from your scripture that we are sinners and we are in need of you. As scripture says, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? And that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So with that in mind, we remember what Jesus did for us when he was incarnated, lived a perfect life, died for us on the cross, so that we are now considered sinless and eligible to come into your presence and to receive the promises that you have made to those whom are righteous. But please let us never forget that it is because of no merit of our own, but it is a result of your mercy. So therefore, let us give you praise and glory that you deserve. Please create in us hearts and minds that please you, and worship you in a manner that is pleasing to you. Create in us hearts and minds that allow us to do work that is pleasing to you. Transform us more and more into the image of your Son, so that we can be better witnesses of you to all that we meet. Finally, Lord, we give thanks for your words to never be anxious, nor to worry. And though for us this is hard to believe and live by, grant us the grace to live by this, for you, Lord, are sovereign over the earth. For who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. Therefore, let us be peaceful in the knowledge that all things are under your control. All praise and glory be to the Lord forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And then should we join together and say the prayer that the Lord taught us? So, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now we sing our next hymn, which is Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. Okay. And now we have our first reading. Is it Richard? It's I've got Matthew 16, 21 to 28. There's Malvelia.
Morning, everyone. The reading is taken from Matthew 16, verses 21 to 28. Jesus predicts his death. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good would it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Malvelia. And now we have our next reading from Richard, which is Romans 12.
Reading is from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21, and it's headed Love. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord." On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. These are the words of the Lord.
Thank you, Richard. And now we move on to our next hymn, which is "By Faith We See the Hand of God."
Thank you. seated. The singing was wonderful this morning. It's good to worship the Lord and to experience the attitude from the church that says we are here for business. And I might be wrong, but I could feel that the church meant that they are here for business, and it's nice to worship and to praise the Lord together. I want to try and share with us something that I have been feeling as a burden, as something that the Lord has laid upon my heart for quite some time. And I hope I'll be able to express it as it should be. But the thinking is on God calling us to lay our lives down for each other. And church is all about caring for one another. Church is all about the spirit of community and being there for each other. As easy as we may be, as difficult as we may be, but God has called us into this place, into a community, to become part of church so that we take care of one another. The reading that we have from Matthew talks about Jesus saying to his disciples, if any one of you wants to follow me, he or she has got to be willing to lay their lives down. And Jesus had modeled to his disciples and showed them what it means to be together, to be a team with his disciples and the people that supported him and followed him. And he wanted this to continue. But we also understand that prior to this, the verses before where we started from Matthew, Peter had a revelation because Jesus had been asking his disciples what people were saying about him, who they were saying Jesus was, and boom, Peter got the revelation that you are the Son of God, you are the Messiah, the one who is sent. And Jesus continues to explain to the disciples that say, as much as Peter had said he was the Messiah, Jesus began to explain that he was going to die. He was going to be sacrificed. He was going to be killed by the elders and the priests. And boom, Peter forgot the revelation that he has just said and shared. And he said to Jesus, the scripture tells us that he called Jesus aside and had a word with him and said, no, it's not going to happen. You are not going to die. We are going to be here. We want to make sure that we have you as long as we can have you. But yet he had just said the revelation that God has sent the Messiah and Jesus was the Messiah. And then Jesus did the difficult thing, which is he said to Peter, rebuked Peter and said, Satan, get behind me. You are a stumbling block. And that wasn't easy for Jesus to say, but he had to say. So when I'm talking about laying our lives for each other, if we are going to be able to do that as a church or as Christians, the first thing that we need to be able to do is to acknowledge and confront our Satans. When I'm talking about Satans, I'm talking about every stumbling block that hinders us from achieving that which God has called us to achieve. And we need to confront those Satans, those stumbling blocks. There may be people that speak to us against what we feel God is calling us to do. And when these people speak against what we feel God is calling us to do, it does not necessarily mean that they are devils or they are the devil. But sometimes they just don't see what you are seeing, and they cannot understand and grasp it as much as Peter struggled to grasp what Jesus was saying, that he was going to die. Yet Peter had the revelation that Jesus was the Messiah. But at this moment, Peter was struggling to grasp what was going on. And therefore, Jesus had to say to Peter, no, you don't have to be a stumbling block. I know you love me, you love the Messiah, you love the work that I'm doing. But on this issue, you haven't seen clearly. And we have got to be willing to deal with those situations in our lives if we are going to be able to look after one another, laying our lives for one another as we look after each other as a community. We have got to be willing to confront our hindrance, our stumbling blocks. It may be fear in us. It may be the fear of being inadequate. It may be the fear of being incompetent, which is what we struggle with, many of us. I talk to people and they say, Are you ever nervous? Probably James, who is starting to lead the service today. And he, in his head, he might think that because Andrew does it, I do it Sunday in, Sunday out. Am I nervous? I am nervous every Sunday. And it might not appear like I am nervous about it, but we need to confront those stumbling blocks that hinder us from continuing to do that which God has called us to do. If we are going to be able to support one another, we need to confront our fears. We need to confront our fear of failure and be able to walk and go on and head on what God is calling us to head on. You could argue to say, was Jesus afraid of death? I want to think so. Because on the Garden of Eden, he asked his disciples to pray for him. And scripture tells us that he prayed and he sweated to an extent that blood was also coming out of his skin as he was in agony, because he understood what it meant to die and to suffer on the cross. But yet he still went on and did that. But sometimes we withdraw because we are afraid, we are scared, because things are difficult. But yet Jesus says, if anybody wants to follow me as a disciple, you have got to be willing to lay your life down, carry your cross. In simple terms, when Jesus is talking about carrying your cross, is living as a person who is already dead. Because before you could carry your cross in the Roman law, you would have been sentenced to death. So you are a dead man anyway. So you don't have any rights. Anybody can spit on you. Anybody can mock you. You are no longer a living person. You don't matter anymore. And Jesus, that's what he's saying. If you want to follow me, you have got to be willing to lay your life down and carry your cross, because it is painful and you've got to be a dead person to say, for you to be able to follow me, because it is Christ who lives, because we are dead to self. And then Christ lives in us, we are carrying the cross. But as long as we are living people, if we are living, that's why dying to self is important in our walking in the faith. If we are still alive, the I and me and myself are still alive, it becomes difficult. But we have got to allow Christ to be alive in us and dead to self. And Jesus commands that, or he says, he demands that if you want to follow me, you have got to be dead to self and carry your cross. And carrying your cross is not easy. Serving God is not easy. And you will face stumbling blocks, you will face fear, you will face persecution. In the Roman readings, it talks about do not retaliate when your enemies persecute you and give evil for evil. But when you are being treated bad, respond with goodness. And which is very difficult. It only takes a dead man or a dead woman to do that. Because when you step on my toes, my natural instinct is to hit back. But Paul is saying, you cannot do that. You need, instead of cursing, you need to be blessing. And that's why, that's when it comes, when it's carrying the cross, because you really know what you need to do, what you must do as a human being. But you remind yourself that it is no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me. Therefore, you are carrying your cross each and every day of your lives. If we are to be an effective church, we need to stand with each other in solidarity. Paul writes to the church, to the Roman church, in verse 15 of chapter 12, where we just read, and he says, mourn with those that are mourning, and rejoice with those that are rejoicing. Solidarity is important in the life of the church if we are to be effective. People that are going to come into the church and join us, they are going to have problems, they are going to have joys, and we have the responsibility of celebrating with them when they are excited, and mourning with them when they are mourning, and struggling with them when they are struggling. And sometimes church has not been very good when it comes to solidarity with brothers and sisters in the church. I know in the every church struggles with the idea of clings, where you have a particular group, and if you move away from that group, you are no longer accepted. And for you to break into that particular group, it's hard work, because they won't let you in. They don't say, they don't tell you that they don't want you in, but you just feel it that you are not a part of this group. And Paul is calling the church to say we need to walk in solidarity together as brothers and sisters, and not ignore one another and thinking that because they are not in my club, they are not part of my group, they are not my class, they are not my whatever grouping you might have. But we have to work together as a church, as a community, walking in solidarity, and to sympathize and to empathize with your brother and sister, and to try by all means genuinely to be there for your brother and sister. And sometimes you don't necessarily need to be able to talk about anything, but just to be there for your brother and your sister to know that I have got support from my congregation, from the people that I worship with. That is what draws people to the church. And Jesus said, by this command shall all men and women know that you are my disciples, when you have love one for another. And the church sometimes has struggled. And not only because church is not good at standing in solidarity, but because church finds herself in a culture, and some cultures, especially the British culture, the steep upper lip, that you don't open up to anybody. You stand. You need to learn to stand on your 2 feet. You don't share the problems that you are going through, so you can go through the disasters and perils and cries and mourning without sharing with anybody, and therefore the church is not able to stand with you. But if we are going to be an effective church and community, we need to be willing to share problems so that we can pray with one another. Unfortunately, and this has happened in the church, that when you share your problem, that I'm going through a difficult time, instead of people praying for you and supporting you and standing with you, what will they do? They will be talking about it. Oh, you know what? Oh, Andrew just shared with me. He's going through a very rough patch. Or you can look at him like that, but you don't know what is going through in his heart. But that's not how church should be. Church should be a people that you are able to share your problems with and they will listen and they will pray with you. They will stand with you. They will support you. They will talk to you. They will stand in solidarity with you. And in our heritage as church, we have not been very good at treating those people that fall on the wayside. I know church would not want to take those responsibilities, but I take them. We have not treated people very well. Just decades before, young ladies and women that fell pregnant, and we took them into homes, and church, we are part of it. We haven't been very good. We haven't been very good at treating people that fall on the wayside. Once you fall on the wayside with church, church is very fantastic when you are doing very well. But church, when you fall on the wayside with church, church doesn't pick up the weak. Church will move on. You can struggle on your own. Church does not want needy people. If you want to be comfortable in church, don't be needy. That's the gospel of the church. But that's not what the gospel of Jesus Christ tells us. The gospel of Jesus Christ tells us that we are always supposed to be there for each other. When we are struggling, when we are mourning, when we are crying, when we are celebrating, we are supposed to be holding each other arm to arm and interceding and praying for each other. Fear mustn't be experienced in our midst because we are in the midst of brothers. We are bound together by the blood of Christ Jesus, and therefore we have a responsibility to support one another. Those of us that are difficult and those of you that are not difficult, we are called to support one another as a community, brother and brother, sister and sister in Christ Jesus. But sometimes church has struggled with that. It is important because that's what Jesus teaches us. And on Wednesday at 1, I was talking about Jesus demonstrating on the cross to his disciples and to his mother that supporting one another is important. Jesus says to his mother, "This is your brother," referring to John, and says to John, "This is your mother," to say it's important for us to look after one another. And these people had come on the cross to support Jesus as he was dying on the cross. They were powerless. They could do nothing to stop the death, but they were just there, standing and seeing him dying, but he knew that he was not dying on his own because his family and friends were standing alongside him. But sometimes church is not good at standing in solidarity with their people. And yet Christ calls us to be one as the body of Christ. How do we stand in solidarity with one another? By taking every opportunity to do good. Every opportunity that comes your way to do good when you see the need in other people. Take that opportunity and do something. Fill the gap that is there. When you see somebody struggling, if you are able to help them, you can help them. That is an opportunity you need to seize. Romans chapter 12 opens with these words. Paul urging the brothers not to be the brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, not to conform to the standard of this world, but to be transformed by the renewal of their minds. In other words, to start to think like the people of the kingdom and to see every opportunity, every need that you see in the lives of the people that you fellowship with, the lives of the people that are in your community, seize that opportunity and use it to do good. When you see somebody struggling, what is the good thing you can do is to help them up. That's the opportunity that you seize. But sometimes, when we see people struggling, we walk away from them. Jesus talks about the good Samaritan. Somebody was robbed on their way, and the priest The one was supposed to be community sensitive. He had his own Satan, and you know, he didn't want to keep himself unclean, and he wanted to keep him safe in case he needs to do a service, blah blah blah, and not seizing the opportunity. The Samaritan cared less about whatever consequences, and he went there and helped. But how many times do I walk away? I walk away. I walk away big time. But sometimes I get it right. I see the opportunity, seize it, and it makes the difference in the lives of the people. Church has got to take every opportunity. Every opportunity you see, every one of us needs each and every one of us. But the problem is we don't take those opportunities. Somebody can be distressed. You can walk in your distress into church, and you can go back in your distress. Sometimes people would talk and say, "Oh, I thought Sally was distressed this morning. What did you do about it?" "Oh, I just thought I could speak to the minister." This is wonderful. You are doing the right thing, but you could have, yes, you can argue that's seizing the opportunity and letting the minister aware of that, but also you could seize the opportunity and respond to the need and pray with them and talk to them, listen to them. And I know I've got a disease in terms of listening. I don't think I'm a very good listener. But I struggle with that. Listening and not being able to give advice. Because my skill is to just, you know, talk and share. You know, I've got an idea. Or this is what you can. But sometimes it's important for you to just sit and listen. Let them whinge. Let them do whatever they want to do. And then you can say, "Okay, I've been listening. And you have done the work." Those opportunities, we need to seize them if we are to make a difference in the lives of the people that God is going to bring into our lives. People that we fellowship with in the community, in our groups, give them the opportunity to be listened to be heard, to be understood. And sometimes we don't understand, but we have got to be in their shoes and listen to them. That is what God is calling us. Jesus says, if anybody wants to follow me, they must be willing to lay down their lives. Is it easy? Do you want to put your life at risk? Do you want to do the risk assessment? Oh, it's not going to work. Oh, I don't want to offend them. You just need to tackle the bull by the horns. And sometimes it's not easy, but we need to do that. Because we are not doing that in our own strength, in our own ability. But we are relying on Him who has called us, who has made us to be a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, those that are called to show praises of God, declaring that as we live the Christian life. Romans urges, Paul urges the church to love one another affectionately, considering one another, not always looking after yourself as the most important one, superior, but considering the lowly, the weak, and the church has been struggling with that. And we need to get our act together and always try to support the vulnerable. The church is one organization that Jesus started, or a community that is built not for its own benefit, but for the benefit of others. That's why laying our lives down for the benefit of others. But the church has twisted that. And all we are interested in is what we can do so that we ourselves can benefit. What is it that is in for me? What can I get out of it? If the church is not going to get anything out of it, the church will not invest. The church is very good at calculating that. What are we going to get out of it? If they are not going to get anything out of it, you can forget about that. But yet we are called to lay our lives down so that other people may enjoy whatever we lay down. That is the ministry that God is calling us to do. And not asking the question, what am I going to get out of it? But Jesus calls us and he says, if you want to follow me, live as a dead man or as a dead woman, not worrying about what people will think because you are dead anyway, not worrying about your reputation, because most of the times we don't do things that God calls us to do because of our reputation. And sometimes we suffer a lot and miss the opportunities. But yet, God is calling us each and every day of our lives to lay our lives down for one another, for the sake of the kingdom. The kingdom mentality says it's not only about me, but others matter also. Amen. Christine will lead us in times of intercession and give us the family news.
Good morning. I'll lose my head one day. Last Sunday, we had an open garden at my garden. It was a very successful event, and a special thank you to David Garrett and also to Carol. We have so many plants left over that we are actually going to have another garden plant sale here on the 16th, which is the same day as the car rally. But we will have it on the Saturday, the day before the car rally. We will have it on the Saturday, the car rally is on the Sunday. If anybody can help at all, we'd be very pleased, either in transporting the plants down to the church or in actually sort of selling the plants here. Be very good. We raised nearly £200. This is just from a £3 entry fee and selling plants, so really pleased with that. So, very successful afternoon. And, just thank you, I think, to people who came from the church, people who came from my gardening club at Market Bosworth, people that I knew in the village and strangers too. It was, a steady afternoon and it was just very nice. Thank you.
Right, I'm just going to share some of the family news with you and then we will go on to the prayers of intercession. Sue Doherty and Charlotte Mitchell. Some of you may remember Charlotte. She comes with her husband, Alan. They usually sit over there somewhere. They're both very poorly in hospital. Sue continues to be a blessing to us and those she meets, and she's grateful for your prayers. Charlotte and her husband Alan have been in worship with us on several occasions in recent years and have appreciated Andrew and Candid's ministry to them. So there are two cards, on the table by the stairs, one for each of them. So please could you add your greetings and sign them. And they will be uplifted by seeing that they are supported by all of you. And I just want to mention Nanette Stribling as well, because, as you know, she's been struggling with dementia, but she's now in the George Eliot Hospital. So can you remember her and her family as well? On a more positive note, Trevor's health has improved, and it's good to see him with us today. and he's proved enough for him to celebrate his and Joan's 70th wedding anniversary with the family and friends. So it was lovely that you were actually able to do that together. Keith is still a bit unwell, and he was hoping to be with us, but he's not here, so I guess he's not feeling good well enough. So we remember others too as we share in our prayers of intercession. But I think Kathy wants a word before we do that.
Yes, it is lovely to see Joan and Trevor here today. And we had a wonderful weekend, didn't we? Last week, celebrating their anniversary. And would you believe, yesterday, it was George and Betty's 62nd wedding anniversary. So they're trying to catch up with Joan and Trevor. You can see that, can't you? And also, we have Nessa celebrating a birthday tomorrow. And Sue Saunders the day afterwards. And we have Tavonga celebrating her birthday too. She'll be three. Oh, you know, which is really very special. And I just want to give little gifts out to everybody just to say well done to them and congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. And we share now in our prayers of intercession. I'm using, to start with, two prayers from the URC Prayer Handbook for 2023. The second of these prayers is written by Johnny O'Hanlon, who spent time with us over the Lent period last year and has recently been ordained and inducted as minister in a church in Wales. And these will be followed by prayers for the church family. So let us pray. Bring healing, O God. Holy God, bring healing to our world and make it whole. We pray for the world, for your good creation plagued by greed, injustice, and oppression, by war, violence, and terror. Inspire us to commit to live in peace and to build a world where all may know fullness of life. Holy God, bring healing to our nations and make them whole. We pray for world leaders that they may set aside personal and national ambition, that no one land may know economic prosperity at the expense of others. Holy God, bring healing to your church and make it whole. We pray that your church may be renewed by your Spirit and remain faithful to your gospel. May its life reflect its proclamation and make known your righteousness and justice, your grace and love. Holy God, bring healing to us and make us whole. Strengthen us to walk in Christ's way, to love neighbours as self, even to love enemies, that the world may see and believe. Amen. Sanctuary in you. When we are afraid, when we are worried, when we are anxious, we know that you are with us. When we feel overwhelmed, when we feel forgotten, when we feel misunderstood, we know that you are with us. You give us the gift of sanctuary, a safe space to be ourselves. Your love is always available, In you we place our hope and our faith. Hear our words of praise that help to bring us ever closer to you. Help us to aid the work you are already doing in our villages, towns and cities. We know you are always with us as we become gifts to our communities. Open our hearts and minds to know you even better, so that whatever we do might bring you glory. Creator, Christ and Comforter, our God, in whom we place all our trust. Amen. And now we pray for our church family. We pray for those who are struggling in one way or another. We bring Nanette Stribling and Sue Doherty and Charlotte and their families to you and ask that you will give them strength and comfort. We pray also for others who have health problems, those who are in care homes, those at home who are being cared for by loved ones, taking one day at a time. We bring them all to you, Lord. Also the families, the doctors and nurses and carers who play such an important part in maintaining their health and well-being. We pray for Paul and Kate as they begin a new life and ministry here in our church and in the wider community. Help us to support them in their practical, spiritual and emotional needs. May they and we hear your message for us clearly so that we can do your will. Give us all the grace and strength to follow where you lead, even when we are unsure of where we will end up. Pick us up when we go in the wrong direction or make mistakes, and put us back on the right path again. Give us joy in serving you, Lord, and may that joy be infectious, so that those we meet will wonder at it and want to know more. We pray for revival in Hinckley and the surrounding areas, and for the whole Christian community to be empowered by your Holy Spirit to reach out to those who need to hear the gospel message of hope. We lift our prayers to you in the knowledge that you hear them. Amen.
Thank you, Christine. Thank you, Andrew. Remind me not to get in your bad side. Okay. And our final song is Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart.
Thank you. like to sit down a moment, please. Christine mentioned before the service started how impressed she was with Nigel last week. And we were as well. For some time now, we've been thinking about doing something at Church Mead Court, but didn't know quite what to do. It was sealed for me and Betty last Sunday morning, and it's been underlined this morning by Andrew's words. And this is what we're going to do. The first, Words to Church Mead, which was an A4 folded piece of paper, was first issued in March 2020 and continued every 2 weeks until February 23, and we published 77 issues. The paper goes on to say, since a 3 week stay in hospital, it has been too difficult to restart, but we would like to try Words at Church Mead Court instead. It will take place every 2 weeks in the lounge and be a time for sharing experiences, enjoyable holidays, things that have made an impression on you and us. We may scribble as we talk about whatever anyone wants to come up with. And this is an invitation to the house. Would you like to join us? And you're welcome. And the first meeting will be Wednesday the 13th of September at 2 p.m. This isn't an invitation for you, it's for the invitation for the people in the house. But we need your support, we need your prayers, please. We spoke to the manager before this was issued, and he was quite excited about it. And other members of the house that we've spoken to say, yes, please. It will be about, not about us, but about who we are and what we are. James, Andrew, thank you.
So the grace of our Lord, Jesus Christ, the love of... Oh, sorry. Sorry, we'll start again. Would you like to stand up and we'll say the grace together? Okay. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Spirit, be with us all.
James. Thank you.